Those of you who were here the last time I spoke, remember that I had a Chinese illustration which the Lord put into my mind, showing how black people, these condemned people who are in the hands of the devil, who have the nature of sin just because they're human beings, come to the cross of Christ. And when they come and take refuge in Christ's death, God charges all the sin of that person and everything that that person is that's unlike holy God to Jesus Christ. And he charges the death of his son to that person. And he sees that person as if they had been put to death, as if they had suffered hell for their sin. And the punishment of his son is all the punishment that's necessary for that person's sin and everything they are that's unlike holy God. And because of that, the Holy Spirit comes into their heart. They stand before God in the presence, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they stand before God just as righteous as Jesus Christ is righteous. They are accepted in the Beloved. And the Holy Spirit comes into their hearts and they are regenerated. Not only have a position of righteousness in the sight of God, but the life of God. And if you could describe in figures, they have a million times more than Adam and Eve ever lost. Adam and Eve were never even born the first time. Well, I praise the Lord, I was born the first time 84 years ago today. And I thank him that I was born the second time 68 years ago in September. If I hadn't have been born a second time, I never would have known you. But I was born into the family of God with the life of God in me. And my body became the dwelling place of the Creator of the universe to live down here in this world and just move around for the Holy Spirit to express His blessed Son through my personality. The Bible calls me the temple of the Holy Spirit. I like to think of myself this kind as being a little trailer temple. I move around so much. But I'm just moving around here in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ to express Himself through. I was over in Little Rock at the first church week before last for a Christian Life conference where the Lord worked glorious in the hearts of so many people. And one man looked at me at the close of the service when we were just talking, and he said, Miss Bertha, you live so close to the Lord, you must just long to go on to the Lord and be with Him. I said, not a bit. I said, heaven can wait. I'm not a bit homesick for heaven. I'm having heaven down here. When the Lord doesn't break my heart over something, I wish He broke it a lot more, because when He breaks my heart, something happens. But that can wait. And I want to live down here just as long as it pleases the Lord to let me stay down here to share with people a little bit of what the Lord has done to me, what He's taught me in this book. The Lord has been so specially good to me. He's let me sit at the feet of some of the world's greatest Bible teachers, some of the world's greatest soul winners, Dr. R. A. Torrey, Dr. E. Y. Mullen, Dr. A. T. Robinson in our Southern Seminary, the old men of God back down to when men who'd walked with God trained other preachers how to preach, other young men how to preach, who'd had experience in life. Dr. Campbell, some of the glorious professors that used to be at the Biblical Seminary in New York. Dr. Reese, Paul Reese, Miss Marie Munson, Dr. Trumbull, and I just couldn't name the others. Miss Marie Munson, Dr. Culpepper out in China, and many other saints. And then He's let me get into situations where I was forced to put into practice what those people had taught me, and friends, I found it worked. I just found it worked. And I want to live just as long as I can to tell other people about it. He gave me a verse some time ago. Take me not hence until I have declared thy faithfulness to coming generations. And when it just broke my heart to leave China, and nearly 42 years had been so short, and the work that God had called me to was over, and I was still carrying 15 hours of work a day, I didn't know I was an old woman. Now, I didn't open my mouth because I know the board has nothing else to do but to have a retiring age, a limit. But I just never dreamed that anything in this life could ever touch me. I like giving up my work that the Lord had known what my work. Giving up the place that the Lord had put me in over there for expressing himself through me. And the Lord just comforted my heart by just putting it into my heart and just called me just as definitely as he ever called me to China. And the only thing that ever kept me over there, the only thing that took me there in the first place was I knew I was called of God, and that certainly was the only thing that kept me over there after I got there. It's easier to go than to stay. But he called me just as definitely to come back home and do what I could. Just add my bit. What he could do through me to help bring a reviving to Baptist Church. And friends, you know I'm not pining to go to heaven. If I die, it'll be the disappointment of my life. I'm just hoping to stay down here till he comes. Well, we were talking, to go back now to what I was saying. We brought those dead people to that cross. And you remember those black dead people to that cross, and they entered into Christ. And you remember I put that Chinese black man into two red men, and I put them up there on the board. And I meant to continue with that board because I thought I was speaking tonight to talk about those people up there, those red people. They passed with the cross, and they were in Christ, and they were God's children, and they were saints, and they were born from above. And they were the Lord's disciples, and their position before God, they were washed whiter than snow, and God had even forgotten they ever sinned, and they had eternal life, and they were empowered by God to be what He to live for Him down here in this world, and the Holy Spirit had come into their heart, and God's standard for those people was. That we put up there was that they were to be holy. They were to be holy. God's people are not to act like the world. The devil's crowd are in that broad road going to heaven. God's people are walking with Him in that narrow road, but He leaves us down here among these people that are in that broad road in order to be different and show them we're going in a different direction. We do not belong to this world. We are not a part of it. And we're citizens of heaven, temporarily living down here in this world. And all that we have to do with these people down here in this world that are going to the devil's crowd is just to be a witness to them. And just to show them there's a better way. And do it in every way we can. By speaking, by telephoning, by showing them our lives, by our testimony of what the Lord means to us. And you remember what that young Indian official said to Dr. Billy Graham out in India when Dr. Graham asked him why he was not a Christian? He said, show me one. And we are to show these people the difference. That's what we're down here for. And God's purpose is that we are to be holy. Why? 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 His standard for every person who's been received into His family and whom He lives is that they are to be holy. Because holy God will never fellowship with anything that comes from the devil. Holy God will never fellowship with sin. The Holy Spirit is always grieved by sin. And friends, the older I live, the more I realize how sensitive the Holy Spirit is. The essence of all holiness. How could he be comfortable in the presence of anything that comes from the devil? And when he's not comfortable, he's grieved back in the corner where our hearts and minds. I think a personal illustration will show you how something of how the Holy Spirit is grieved. I've always loved to keep house, and I just love to do anything about housekeeping. Now my mother taught her four daughters to do everything in the world that needed to be done around the home. But that was a sacrifice I always had to make, because I never did have time to keep house in China. I couldn't have gotten a drop of water out of the well if the house had been on fire. Pulled up with a windlass and a big tub about that big. And the only way we had running water, the cook heated it out in the wash tub outside and dipped it out and ran to the tub with it before it got cold, ran into the house with it. Well, I came home, and I was able to keep house before I wrote a book. If you ever want to have any peace, don't ever write a book, because too many people will get your name. And then you'll have so much mail and so many telephones, and come here and go there, and while you appreciate it, you don't have much rest left. I don't want any. I'm resting when I get to heaven, but I did enjoy it when I first got home. And I had time to cook. But I hadn't been cooking very much and hadn't been accustomed to an electric stove until a young neighbor and his wife, a pastor out about 2 miles of the country church who graduated Southwestern, had a Texas preacher and his wife and 12-year-old son come out to spend a week with him. And my sister was away from home that week. So I thought, well, I must have Brother Carlos' friend come down and have them come down for lunch with us one day. Well, I was just sure that I'm not going to get frustrated, because long ago I've learned that word didn't belong in any Christian's vocabulary, and I just start in time, and so I can do what I do commonly and not give the devil a chance to make me get frustrated. I did a little praying that morning, but I knew that afternoon that I'd have time for my regular quiet hour after they were gone. And in the summertime, we had lots of flowers. I made bouquets and fresh flowers and put them everywhere where they ought to be. And my mother always taught her daughters, when the preacher comes, he's the Lord's servant, and we're going to serve the very best for him. He's the Lord's servant. And I got out a pretty Chinese embroidered linen tablecloth and put on the table. And I got out the best china and the silver and the pretty crystal and had everything looking pretty. And I was just getting along fine with my dinner, just praising the Lord for a while. And then, lo and behold, after a while, just 5 minutes before 12:30, when they were to come, the doorbell rang. And I was just putting green beans into the pot to cook. Well, of course, I was embarrassed. And I didn't have to give any excuse whatever. I didn't have to tell them why dinner was going to be late. I don't know why on earth I said what I did to them. Well, the McCarleys had been to my home before, not for a meal, but just visiting. And I said, the dinner's just going to be a little bit late. One of the units on the electric stove had burned out. Which was quite true, but there were 3 units left in an oven. And that was all I needed to prepare that meal. And I asked the Curlys to take the guest into the parlor and show him my Chinese things. Well, after a while, I got the dinner ready. Now, what I didn't tell those people was that I had already burned up 2 pots of green beans. I was not accustomed to an electric stove, hadn't been cooking on it very long. And I had plenty of units to cook that dinner. 3 was a plenty with enough. But fortunately, I'd burnt up all the fresh beans, but I had a can of canned ones I was able to put in. It didn't take them long to get done. And we had dinner and sat down at the table and just had a good time. And after dinner, we chatted a little bit, and then we had prayer together. I'm sure we got on our knees and so all prayed around. I'm sure I prayed. I couldn't imagine myself not praying on an occasion like that. And after they'd gone, I cleaned up what had to be done as soon as possible and went upstairs to my room and got my Bible and read. I don't suppose I got anything from it. And got on my knees to pray. And friends, when I got on my knees to pray, my praying wasn't going as high as the ceiling, I don't think, certainly no high. God was not there. There's nobody to pray to. I was just saying words. And I said, Lord, what is the matter? What's happened? What's the matter? Well, you know, when you want to know, it doesn't take you long. People that don't know the Lord's will are not willing to do it. That's the reason we don't know it. We don't know what the Lord wants. It's because we don't know what we're not willing to do it. As soon as we're willing to know, he'll let us know. And he let me know in a hurry. Why did you tell those people? For what reason did you give your guests that dinner was going to be late? I told them dinner was going to be late because one of the units on the stove was burned out. And that wasn't true at all. Dinner was going to be late because I'd already burned up two pots of green beans. And you know, I couldn't pray. And there wasn't any use to say, Lord, forgive me. I had enough spiritual sense to know that wouldn't work. Say, Lord, forgive me. I had to go downstairs and get in the car and drive out 2 miles to those people's home. I got out there to their home. And they have one of these new modern pastoral rooms where the kitchen is the front and the two women are there. And I said, where are the two men? They said, back in the study. I said, will you please call them out? And I looked at those four people and I said, I didn't tell you all the truth about why dinner was late today. Dinner wasn't late because one unit had burned out in the stove, because I'd already burned up two pots of green beans. And they looked at me as if, just looking at me as if, what a low-down missionary. Nobody said a word. I just turned right around, walked out, went out and got in my car and went back home, went upstairs. And I went upstairs and got on my knees, and friends, I could pray. Well, now I could have argued and said there's no principle involved in that. It didn't hurt anybody. It really didn't make any difference with anybody. But the Holy Spirit, who is the essence of holiness, was not going to let me get by with that thing. And I praise the Lord, he didn't let me get by with it. I don't know when I would have been able to have gotten in tune with the Lord again if I hadn't have made that thing right. The Holy Spirit is sensitive. And his people have got to live a holy life. He will have no fellowship with anything that comes from the devil. Now he is so merciful. He goes on and does a lot of things that we ask him to do without our being consciously in fellowship with him. He just has to. And you know, sometimes some other people's praying for the same thing we are, and he may be hearing that other person's prayer instead of ours. But we just can't fool God and get by with anything lower than his standard for us. And he couldn't have a standard any lower. We're to be a holy people because he's holy. And if I'd had my chart here, I was going to uncover those red men and take a look at that black man inside of that red man. And I was going to ask these two preachers who represented those red men that came to the cross the other night, how long they'd been Christians and how long they'd been preachers. And then we were going to take a look at that black man inside and see how much that black man had changed since they had been saved. And then we were going to take a look at that last person, the person that I put up here, remember, was myself. And after 68 years of walking with the Lord, and it took me so long to ever get into the kingdom of God and get saved, after the Lord did his part by showing me how lost I was, that I'll tell you, my desire has been unto the Lord ever since then. And I think I can say I've been walking with the Lord 68 years. And I gave up my family and went to China. And I'll tell you, when a single woman goes to China, it's altogether different from a family going. The family goes, they take along the person they love best. And they have their home out there. And the people they love best are there with them. When a single woman goes, she gives up everything. And not only that, but I went through all those wars and bombings and went hungry in those communist seas. Well, surely my black human nature would have changed, wouldn't it? You think it would have? Wife would have taken off that red man, that black man wouldn't have even been a little pale. Just as black as I was the day before I was saved. By nature, my nature. My nature. Hadn't changed a bit. When I gave this somewhere and a woman came up to me and said, well, I'm just all confused. I said, what are you confused about? She said, well, you tell me that I must be holy and then you tell me I'm just as black as I can be. Well, how are we be? Whose holiness are we to have? This old sinful human nature has not got to change into something holy. It never is going to change. The Lord didn't come to improve this old sinful human nature and make it get a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better and get that black color to pale a little and pale a little and pale a little. It's not fit to live. The nature of the devil is the only remedy for the nature of the devil is to put it to death. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to take us to the cross. If the Lord could have improved us, Jesus Christ would have never died our death. We had to die, as we've been hearing presented here all the week. We had to die, and we couldn't die for our own sins. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinned shall die. Always has been God's holy law, and it always will be. Holy God never excuses sin in anybody. I heard a woman some time ago, a young woman who had sinned, and she was just heartbroken over it. I don't know whether she was so heartbroken because she'd sinned or whether it got out. And she said, of course God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. Now what about that? Now what about that? God had not forgiven her in the sense that she was talking about. God hadn't forgiven her but couldn't forgive her because he loved her. God couldn't say, oh, well, that's all right, you're sorry, and I forgive you, that'll end it. Literally, God doesn't forgive sin. He has to transfer that sin to his son, and that sin had to crush the life out of his son. And that's God's forgiveness, and that's the only kind of forgiveness he has. He transfers our sins to his son. He doesn't excuse us because we're sorry. That sin must be punished. It comes from the devil. And that woman didn't realize what her sin cost God. That Jesus Christ had to shed every drop of his blood before God could forgive her for that sin. God is holy. And he must punish sin. I read an incident one time that really happened in the Civil War. One man's name was George Wyatt. I've forgotten the other man's name. George Wyatt was a man in young middle age with a house full of children, and he was called into service in the Civil War. He had a young friend in the community. His name's I've forgotten. We'll call him John. And John went to George and said, you know, I don't have a family. I'm not married. And I just can't bear the thought of you leaving your wife and children to go off to the war. You let me go in your stead, and I'll just take your card and I'll just go and sign my name as George Wyatt, and I'll take your place. And he did. And lo, he was killed. John was killed. But you know, it was announced that George Wyatt had lost his life in battle. George Wyatt had died. And then after a while, when they were just combing the country, when boys even 16 years old were being called to fight, they were just going through the country hunting anybody they could get. And lo, they found this man there with his family named George Wyatt. He hadn't gone from there. Hadn't been enlisted. So his name was handed in, and here he was called to come and enlist. And he said, I've already died in the battle. I've already died in this war. And there they had a record of where he was from, his address. And there he died. He'd been killed in battle. Well, what did the government do about it? They had to admit that he died. And he didn't have to go. Had he died? Yes and no. He died, but he's still living. He died in George White. John. George White had died. And John had taken his place in death. I was up in security, Colorado, a few years ago. I was in Colorado Springs. And that security church for a week. And that's not far from Camp Carson. At that time, there were 25,000 young men there getting ready to go to Vietnam. And some of them came to my meeting. And one young man came who had been a ministerial student in college. But he just decided he'd get his military training off first and went up there. He was an assistant to the chaplain. But he came and he said, I'm a Christian, but I'm not worth a thing. I'm not worth a thing. I can't help these men any. I'm just overcome by the same sins they are. Well, then when he learned about this death to himself, he took it. He got his sins forgiven up to date, and he took this little leaflet that was handed out to you today on this big eye, and he did what I told him to do. And I might like for you to do the same. He underscored every statement in that leaflet that applied to him, and that was most of it. I used to get these little leaflets from Scotland. They're printed over here now. And the church ordered these for you to have. And I want you to take this and do the same that they did. You underscore every statement in this. And that'll help you to see a little bit more clearly what this sinful human nature is like. After people have listed their sins and written all they can think of, I'd like to hand this out to them and then let them see what they can add. Well, this young man had done that. And he was just so sick of himself, he transferred all these sins to the Lord. And he transferred this black sinful self over there. And he came just wanting to know how he could be empowered to live right. Well, we got on our knees before the Lord, and as we talked about God's plan for this old sinful nature is that it was put to death in his son. Now, he doesn't force you and me to accept that position of death. And the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts when we're saved, and the average saved person is filled with themselves and this big eye. Because we didn't know that we were to take that position in death with Christ for ourselves. And we were to sign this old self, this old ego that was contaminated by the devil and made sin by the devil, through Eve and Adam. We didn't know that we were to sign that to death and refuse in the name of the Lord to let it rule over us. And then that young man saw that as his way of victory over himself and over this old sinful self. He learned that he'd already heard that before. And he accepted that position of death in full. And he thanked the Lord that he had died in Christ. And in the name of the Lord, he refused to let this old self rule over him anymore. And he praise the Lord that God had been seeing him in that position of death ever since he was saved. And if you've seen him in that position of death, I'll take that to myself. And by a definite act of his will, as well as of an act of faith, he assigned his own self to death. To a position of death. To a position of death. And then he enthroned Christ in his heart. Instead of himself, instead of his God. Now the Holy Spirit who had come into his heart was then ready to take over and fill his soul. But the Holy Spirit is holy. And he just takes the place in our hearts that we give him. Yes, he is saved. He never overrides our will to do anything for us even as we are saved. He doesn't force us one hour. He pleads and he does all kind of ways to get us to
let him have all there is to us and fill us, but he doesn't force us. And because that young man was so sick of himself that he was ready to break forever with this old, with this big eye and take the place by faith of God that he knew God had been seeing him in, or learned it from this word ever since he was saved. And all he wanted was that Christ should be magnified through his personality, through his cleansed personality. Couldn't have a cleansed personality as long as this contaminated devil nature was in charge. But when you assign that to the place of death and plunge in the blood of Jesus for cleansing, he could hand over his cleansed personality for the Holy Spirit to fill him and magnify Christ. And when he wanted Christ magnified, and that's what the Holy Spirit does, his heart was prepared for the Holy Spirit, who was already in his heart, just to take over and fill his soul. Well, the dear boy was so pleased. And he prayed as he said, "Lord, I thank you for giving me strength to die." But they think of people dying because they don't have any strength to live. But he knew the Lord would give him strength to die. And then he prayed in prayer, another prayer, "Lord, I thank you, he's taught me how to live good." And friends, that's just what we have to do. We have to learn to live good. Now, death doesn't mean the separation of breath and body always. But sometimes death is used to represent the breaking of fellowship. You remember when that prodigal son was away in the foreign country and came home, what the father said about him? "This my son was dead and alive." Well, that young man was physically still alive. Of course he is. But he's dead to his father. No fellowship with the father. Dead to his father. And that's what that young man meant up there at Colorado Springs when he said, "I thank you for teaching me to live good." And friends, that's the secret of glorious victory. And that's the only way we can live holy. And that's the secret. We don't need but one way. We don't need. And that way is that we assign this old self to the place of death. And as I said a moment ago, we plunge in the blood of Jesus to be cleansed from all the contamination that it has been within us. He's contaminated us, just the nature of the death. And we hand over our cleansed personality to the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to fill us and magnify Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't magnify himself, he magnifies Christ. I was in one of the churches at Memphis in March of last year, leading a Christian Life conference. And I never have any handshaking in my conferences. I have praying. I won't even pray with people till about this half over, but in most churches people are not ready. And you just waste time and comfort them before they get ready to face up to the sins by praying with them. I pray for them, but send them home to face up to their sins. And then at some places by Wednesday, I invite people to go to the prayer room. Some places by Thursday. I remember when I was here, Thursday morning was the first time I invited anybody to go back there to the prayer room. 20 people went back there. The pastor and the song reading, the assistant pastor, and 17 women. And there were 3 men and 16 of the women. Every more poor to emptied out their hearts to the Lord, they were ready. And some of them had already died, as the pastor had. The pastor had been living dead to himself for 4 or 5 years, and he had wonderful peace. And all he had to do was to, by faith, appropriate the Holy Spirit, take over and fill his soul. And that's what he did. Same thing in the Heavenly Spirit. Well, I think it was about Thursday night up there when people gave an opportunity, maybe we did Thursday daytime, to go to the prayer room. And the first person to come was one of the most handsome women I've ever seen. Tall, stately, beautifully dressed with a beautiful fur stole. And she came walking down the aisle. Well, the pastor was shaking hands with him, and I just joined him, went on back to the prayer room, got on my knees beside her. And I said, "What do you want the Lord to do for you?"
She said, I can't stand the life I'm living in alone. And I said, just tell the Lord that. And she opened her heart. She said, Lord, for 38 years, I've been working for you. I've done everything in the church a woman could do. I've taught Sunday school. I've worked in training unions. I've worked in the WMU. I've been associational WMU president. I've done everything that a woman could do in a church, and I have worked so hard. And I'm so sick and tired of it. It's been worth nothing. It hasn't changed anybody's life. I'm so sick and tired of it. I can't stand. And I talked that night, I think, on dying to yourself. And she told the Lord she just wouldn't take death to herself. And she poured out all of everything that in her heart that she knew was unholy, and she'd really assigned this old self to death. She told the Lord that all she wanted to live for was that Christ might be magnified through her personality, and she knew that was the work of the Holy Spirit. She could will it, but only the Holy Spirit could do it. And perhaps the Holy Spirit to come out of that crowded corner where she'd had him grieved and take over and fill her soul. And I told him, no, he just did it. The prayer room was a long, narrow Sunday school room, and other women had come in and filled up all the chairs, other chairs around the wall. And when she started thanking the Lord, and she was in that position of death, and the Holy Spirit was filling her soul to magnify Christ to her personality. I got up and left her. She didn't need me anymore. And I went on over here to help another woman. And that woman just started saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the minute she got up and she started walking back and forth the length of that room. And she started praising the Lord. Hallelujah. In the Baptist church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, the rest of us, everybody just got up and sat down and looked at us. And I looked at her face and heard her praising the Lord. And the joy of the Lord just started filling my soul, and I just started laughing. And I just sat there and I just laughed. And the more I laughed, the more she shouted, the more she shouted, the more I laughed. And after a while, she came out with this. Who would have thought I would shout at my own funeral? She had a funeral, friend. She had a funeral. And by the way, that woman proved to be the cousin of Miss Pearl Cowrell, that wonderful missionary in China who was so used during that revival over there in the 36 churches of Kingdo County. But she died. And there isn't any need for anybody to pray and beg and agonize for the Lord to fill them with the Holy Spirit till they're ready to die, to the sick. You might get an emotional experience. The devil might fill you up. Did you know that the devil can counterfeit joy? I didn't know that till recently. I found out the devil can counterfeit joy. And he can just fill you with ecstasy. And it's a counterfeit. It's not joy at all. I think I'll give you an illustration of this. I don't have to stick to the subject anymore. We had a marvelous young man, Mr. Steve Marshall. A Bible teacher at our Baptist college over in North Carolina, Garden Webb College. My sister is a college history teacher. In the last 9 years of teaching, she taught there. And a young man came while she was there. She was very fond of it. We often invited him down to our home and he learned quite well. And he was just a great man of God. He had his own home just off the college campus. And about 2 acres of land, he built a little chapel over at the back so he could just have Bible classes. And people could just come to study the Word. And preachers go for miles and miles around and had their day when they went to the Bible class there. He was a man of marvelous influence. And I saw him. We were on a summer program somewhere. And he said, Miss Brother, I heard a man speak in tongues. And he said that two young men and he were praying together, and one of them said, the Lord has given me a message for you, and he told him something, and said something in some kind of strange produce some kind of strange sign. And then he said, the Lord has given me the interpretation. And he told him what it was. It was just, he told him what the man said. I've forgotten the, just remember the sense of it. It's something you could have found in many places in the Bible, that whatever happened to them in the future, they were always to stand true to the Lord. And Brother Morris said to me that he was so elated because he'd heard that man speak in tongues and he couldn't go to sleep that night. He said he went to bed and he was just lifted up to the third heaven. Well, now I thought, now this is strange. Now God never misuses his power at any time. There's always a purpose for what God does, and he never does things for you and me we can do for ourselves. When I stood at the grave of Lazarus over in Bethany, I saw that entrance into that grave carved out of that stone hillside, and they had stone about this big. That's it. The stone itself was gone from Lazarus' grave, but a stone at other graves. The grave was there where they rolled it. And that stone was bigger than that. The diameter of it was more than the height of that entrance into that grave. Because that stone sealed that entrance, closed it up. And it was about that thick, heavy, solid stone. Now, Jesus could have walked up there and just spoken a word, and that stone would have just rolled away. But he said to these men, take ye away the stone. And those men had to strain and push and pull and use every ounce of energy they had to get that stone rolled from in front of that grave. And then Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. And of course, as you know, they didn't use caskets. They wrapped yards and yards and yards of white linen around that body after rubbing it with that wonderful ointment, fragrant ointment. Well, he certainly could have had Lazarus come out with that linen loose, all that wrapping, but he didn't. Lazarus got up and came out of that grave alive, and Jesus said to those people, unwrap him, loose him. He made those people do everything they could for Lazarus, and he did what they couldn't do. And that's where he always does. He doesn't do things for us, he can do for ourselves. And I thought, well, now that was strange. Now, the Lord knows English, and all three of those men knew English. And why would God do through a miracle, giving two of those men a message from the other? Why didn't that man say, the Lord's given me a message from you, chapter and verse, please open the book and read it. It's God's word, I'm passing it on to you. He's given it to me for you, you read it, chapter and verse. Well, then I just looked at Brother Morris here and I said, do you suppose that could have been from the devil? Well, he just looked at me and said no more, and of course I said no more. And I didn't see Brother Morris yet for a year. He's in the glory now, so it's all right for me to tell it to me, even without getting permission from him. He didn't mind anyway. He'd be glad if he would live. I saw him a year later, and he said, Miss Bethel, when you suggested that glorious experience that I had from hearing that man speak in tongues might have been from the devil, you just bolted the rope. He said, it never occurred to me that wasn't from the Lord. And he said, now I'm convinced the whole thing was from the devil, even all that what I thought was joy. It's nothing but ecstasy and my emotions that the devil had put there, stirred up. He said, I found out that man was so full of sin and so full of pride, why the Lord couldn't have possibly given him any message for us. The devil can't get to one ear, get to another. And if you can't get to the sin, if you can't stop you from following the Lord, he'll thrust you out in front of the Lord. A woman asked me the other day what I thought about it, and speaking in tongues. And I said, I surely would have been much obliged if the Lord had given me the Chinese language. But he didn't. And he didn't. And more than that, the people who some denominations, as you know, to profess to believe that if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're speaking tongues. There's not a line of Bible for that because there's thick languages and Acts, and they don't do that. And they're just all confused. And they go out to China, they have to learn Chinese language, they're like the rest of us. The Lord doesn't give them Chinese language. And then some said to me the other day, well, you know, why, Paul spoke in Asia.
Paul, I said, Paul caught up to the third heaven. You're going to get caught up to the third heaven.
And then you can follow his example. He might have been speaking the language of heaven. One said the other day to me, why, Miss Bertha, you know you have a prayer language. The Lord hasn't given you a prayer language. Well, I said, no, I didn't say a prayer. I had that thought later. Well, here's the whole psalm is a prayer language. Whole psalm, prayer language. You're surely backsliding and you're going to ask for you. That's just the truth. You know you're not full anymore. You're wanting something else. You're not full anymore. You've already backslidden. You leave the Holy Spirit back in the heart, back in the corner of your heart somewhere. This old self is risen up. And you begin to beg. And when people ask me, how do you know you're filled? I say, I know I'm filled and I can't think of a thing in the world. Ask the Lord to do for me. He's filling the soul and he's everything I need. And I can't ask him to do a thing in the world. I know I'm filled. The devil will come out of us most anyway through this old self because we're living dead. This old self hasn't changed one particle. It never will. But if it's in the position of death, it's a position of death. If it's in a position of death, and all we want is Christ in throne, we can face the Holy Spirit to fill our souls, and we can't keep ourselves in that position of death. Praise the Lord, we don't have to. We will it. And we just choose it and will it, and the Holy Spirit will fill our souls, and he'll keep that old self in the position of death, and he'll keep Christ magnified through our personality. And we live gloriously. I'd been in town 3 years before I found out the secret of living victorious. And when I learned that I'd been dead ever since, in the position of death on God's side, ever since I was saved, I accepted it for myself. And I enthroned Christ in my heart, and friends, I was through with Bessie Smith, and I tell you, that was a wonderful good rhythm. And I was so thrilled, I walked on the air. I lived on the air for nearly a year. I just didn't sin for about a year. And I was telling this somewhere, and a woman came up to me and said, well, you didn't have any sinful thoughts? I said, certainly not sinful thoughts. When the Holy Spirit was filling my soul, he was holy. He was holy. Sinful soul. He couldn't get in there because this old self that he comes through was in the place of death. Do you like yourself pretty well? Or are you through with yourself? You have to get through with yourself, and you know when you see how black this stuff is by facing up to all that it produces. But if you're really through with yourself and realize that it never can be improved, that it's the nature of the devil, and Jesus Christ came to take it to the cross, and you agree with him and you sign yourself there. And I repeat, all you want is that Christ to be glorified in you, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. Your heart's ready for it. Let the Holy Spirit take over and fill you. And you don't have to wait 10 days and pull him down from heaven. He's already in your heart, just ask him to take over and kill you. The pastor up in Fort Worth told me that for 12 years he prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He bought every book on the Holy Spirit and the deeper life that he saw advertised anywhere, and he read them. And he said they all told me to take it by faith. And I read the book, and I got on my knees, and I told the Lord I was taking it by faith, but I never did receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you came along with your simple little formula, get the sins forgiven up today, and dethrone this big eye, take the place of death for this big eye, and then throw Christ in your heart, and then you're prepared for the Holy Spirit. Then you take the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't get the cart before the horse. And he said, I was sick. You've been passing that church gloriously since. Still. After 12 years of hunger and searching and seeking. Dear Lord, we thank you.
The joy of vision for your children is not something that you can't grasp. And you haven't set any standards for your children that the weakest child that's ever been born into your kingdom can't live out. Because you are our victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil.
We have the victor. We do not have to pray for victory or any of these gifts because we have the victor and we have the giver. And we praise you for the glorious privilege that you give us, that in the name of our adorable Lord and Savior, who conquered the devil, we can, in the name of the Lord, resist his old self and assign him to that place of death where you put him, and agree with you. And when we're willing to live there, your blessed Holy Spirit can fill our souls and keep him in that place of death. And magnify Christ. Lord, it's just too wonderful to words. All eternity will not be long enough to praise you. That you not only saved us from hell to heaven, but you saved us here in this life. And we live gloriously for you here. Lord, their hungry hearts here still. We pray that you reveal this glorious truth to their hearts. Make them willing to act upon it. And there's some of these days who've been filled, who've taken that place of death for this old self. Now, Lord, we pray that you would enable them never to get their eyes on any experiences and never backslide and start begging for you. But just praise you that they have you and keep you enthroned. And if they have you, they can't want anything else. And just keep them so sensitive to sin that they'll confess immediately every accidental sinful thought they have and put that old self back on the cross and cleanse in the blood of Jesus for cleansing and again enthrone your blessed Son and again let your grieved Holy Spirit come out and take over and fill their soul. Lord, don't let people come here and spend these days and go away still hungry hearted. Don't let anybody come here and take away any sins not dealt with. Don't let anybody come here and go away with this old self still in front. Lord, just make this truth that you've been hearing this way and that way from different speakers so clearly. Make it so clear to them that they just cannot let go and act on it. And put them into their hearts such a hunger for all of your holiness and all that you are. And to have a living Lord reigning in their hearts and lives. And be an equal to every situation that they may find themselves in. They just can't stand it. And so they literally break with this old self. And Lord, we know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. People can't see themselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us. So we pray that a mighty wave of conviction may sweep over the resistance. And we'll be so sick of sin, we just can't continue letting this old self dominate. That we'll come down. That you may lift us up. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake.